Okay.
Okay, so we're going to call ourselves back to order again. Today is May the 13th, 2019. It is 9:02 a.m. The board's mission is to protect the health and welfare and safety of the public. We seek to use the services of the nursing care institution administrator and assistant building facility manager. Pursuant to ARS 38431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the state of Arizona board of examiners and nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers, otherwise known as the board, and to the general public that the board will hold their regular monthly board meeting, which is open to the public today, May 13th, 2019, to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007. And again, the time now is 9:03 a.m. Persons with disabilities may request a reasonable accommodation such as sign language interpreter by contacting Alan Emick at 602-364-2273 or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange for the accommodation. The board's president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda except for the matters scheduled at a specific time. The agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting, and board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon the majority of the vote of quorum of the members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.0383, and may hold an executive session on agenda items 4 through 10 for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You must refer to the resident by their initials or use the word resident. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for May the 13th, 2019 regular board meeting is as follows. We've already done our call to order, and Al, you can do a roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Lewis?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Kidder?
Here.
Member Randolph?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Member Hasselton?
Here.
Thank you, Al. Next on the agenda is the call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38431.02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing the staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. At this time, is there anyone that wishes to address the board that is not currently on the agenda? Okay, hearing none and seeing none, we'll move on to the next agenda items. Approval of minutes, board review, consideration, and action approval for the minutes for April 8th, 2019 regular board meeting.
So moved.
There's one correction on Wartenberg. There was just one letter missing, so I corrected it.
Okay. And with that correction,
item 23.
With that correction, Dave, do you still want to continue with your motion?
Yes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Next is the formal administrative hearings or proposed consent agenda agreements. And it is for a motion to proceed formal hearing or formal administrative hearing.
So I could just have one moment to set up, and then Assistant Attorney General Beth Campbell will be your advisor.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Okay. And she is no relation to me.
That is true.
Even though we have the same last name.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
Sorry. So why are you wearing blue and black?
Oh,
All Campbells had a meeting before this meeting. Not true at all.
Ready, counsel?
Yes.
So this is case 18-53 involving Yora Saboria. Is she present?
It's a he. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if he signed in.
No. Okay, this is the date, time, and place for the matter dealing with Burrell D. Saboria, case number 18-53, scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. The subject of the hearing is to set forth in the complaint notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the board statutes and rules and whether the disciplinary action is warranted. Members of the board present for the hearing are, and now I think we'll roll call again.
Yeah. Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Lewis?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Kidder?
Here.
Member Randolph?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Member Hasselton?
Here. Thank you, Al. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint notice of hearing, the respondents' answers, if any, were filed, and all pleadings of record. Will all parties please identify themselves?
Sabrina Vaughn for the state.
And are you ready to proceed?
I am, with a motion to proceed with the formal hearing.
Okay. And let the record reflect that the respondent is not present. So a hearing of this nature differs from that of a court proceeding. Technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reasonable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or other inadmissible advice or evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight of the evidence received in a disciplinary proceeding. The state bears the burden of proof and shall go first in presenting its case, and the respondent can respond if he does show up. The burden of proof in the administrative hearing is in the preponderance of the evidence, which means sufficient evidence to establish that a fact is more likely true than not. After it hears all the evidence of the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. All parties who are called as a witness to the matter, respondent, including the respondent, give their names to Al and be sworn in for the testimony. If you could just raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do. Philip Smith, the investigative report.
Thank you. Before hearing testimony, are there any preliminary matters that the board should consider?
Yes. So the state has submitted a motion to proceed with the formal administrative hearing. Just a brief background, Mr. Ciorba was present at the May 13th, 2019 AM motion to deem the allegations admitted. And he was present, communicated with the board, the March meeting, March 11th, 2019 meeting, where he was present, communicated with the board a desire to voluntarily surrender his license. The hearing was vacated. Therefore, he was submitted a motion to proceed with a formal administrative hearing. And you also, I believe that you have that in your packet. That was submitted. So the state is ready to proceed with the formal administrative hearing at this point.
Okay, and do you wish to make an opening statement?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, counsel.
Okay. Again, my name is Sabrina Khan. I represent the state in the matter of BRL Ciorba. This is case number 18-53. Mr. Ciorba entered into a consent agreement and order by which he was supposed to comply with the terms and conditions of the order and has failed to do so. And through the testimony of Phil Smith, the state will outline what Mr. Ciorba has failed to do. And at the end of this hearing, the state will request that the board administer discipline that it deems appropriate and just to address his conduct.
Thank you. Would the state like to call their first witness?
The state calls Phil Smith as its first witness.
Thank you.
Okay, you may proceed.
Mr. Smith, what is your position with the board?
I'm the board's investigator.
Okay, and how long have you worked for the board?
About 15 years.
And so as part of the board's investigator, what are your job duties?
Well, they include initiating complaint investigations, sending notices of complaint to the applicable respondents, monitoring the responses back, assembling cases to be presented to the board, attend board meetings, and present the cases to the board, draft and monitor consent agreements, and testify.
Okay. And have you reviewed all the files related to this matter, 18-53?
Yes, sir.
And are you familiar with this case?
Yes, sir.
And how did you first come to learn about this case?
Initially, received a statement of deficiencies from DHS. Okay. That resulted in the board offering Mrs. Ciore a consent agreement to resolve the complaints. The consent agreement was signed and developed.
And so I'd like to direct your attention to what's been marked as State's proposed Exhibit 1, the notice of hearing and complaint. So are you familiar with this document?
Yes.
Is this a true and accurate copy of what was submitted to Mr. Ciorba?
Yes, it is.
Are there any changes or corrections that you believe should be made?
The only change.
Okay.
Well, the only change would be that the consent agreement was entered into by Mrs. Ciorba on July 6th, which is the date, the effective date of the consent agreement, which is the day the executive director signs it. He signed it, Mrs. Ciorba did on June 30th. That's just the date of his signature. It doesn't make it effective.
All right. And who signed this document, the complaint notice, Gary?
Alan Newman, President Secretary.
All right. And is this a true and accurate copy?
Yes.
Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 1 into evidence.
So admitted.
Thank you. So in terms of whether or not Mr. Ciorba received it, what does the tracking notification indicate?
Well, it indicates that it was sent to the residence, but was not signed for it and was returned to the board.
Okay. And was this submitted to his address of record on file with the board?
Yes, it was.
And now I'd like to direct your attention to State's proposed Exhibit 2. The consent agreement in order. And are you familiar with this document, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I am.
And when was this consent agreement in order executed?
On July 6th of 2018.
And that's the date when who signed it?
Alan Meek was the executive director.
Okay. And so in terms of, is this a true and accurate copy of the consent agreement in order?
Yes, it is.
Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 2 into evidence.
So admitted.
Thank you. So in terms of the order, what was Mr. Ciorba required to do and by what date?
He was required within 90 days to pay $250 to the board as a recovery of investigative costs, provide the board documentation of the successful completion of a 40-hour assisted living facility manager training course, and to successfully pass the NCIA administered examination for assisted living facility managers. He did not comply with any of those rules.
Did he ever reach out to you at any time and request any type of extension or?
I don't do so.
And Mr. Smith, I'd like to direct your attention to State's proposed Exhibit 3. Are you familiar with this document, sir?
Yes, sir.
And what is the document?
It's a copy of a letter that I forwarded to Mrs. Ciorba on October 9th, 2018, informing him that as a result of this failure to comply with any of the terms of the consent agreement, that his manager's certificate was being placed in a state of suspension, but that he was still eligible to take the manager's exam if such was to do so.
Is this a true and accurate copy of the communication, that the letter that you sent to Mr. Ciorba on October 9th, 2018?
Yes, it is.
Mr. President, the state moves to admit Exhibit 3 into evidence.
So admitted.
And did Mr. Ciorba communicate?
Did you admit number 2?
I believe I
did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did Mr. Ciorba reach out to the board and communicate with you regarding the October 9th, 2018 letter?
No.
And again today, has Mr. Ciorba complied with any of the terms or conditions with the order?
No, he has not.
Thank you. The state has nothing further for Mr. Smith.
So does the state wish to rest at this time?
Yes.
Are there any additional witnesses that you wish to call?
No.
So this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. Board will now hear closing arguments if you're prepared to make those arguments.
Yes, Mr. President. Good morning again. The state has shown through the testimony of Phil Smith that Mr. Ciorba has not complied with any of the terms and conditions required in the order as presented in Exhibit 2. Mr. Ciorba has failed to reach out to board staff, has failed to even make an effort to comply with any of these terms and conditions. Therefore, it appears as though Mr. Ciorba is not able to be regulated and has not made any effort to comply here. Therefore, the state requests that Mr. Ciorba's certificate be revoked.
Having heard the testimony, review the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussions or entertain motions. The first item for discussion is the finding of the fact. The complaint makes parties and jurisdictions at paragraphs 1 to 3 and factual allegations at paragraphs 4 to 7. The board will discuss whether the state has proven those allegations. Is there a motion to adopt all parties and jurisdictions and factual allegations in the complaint findings as state?
So I move that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by preponderance of the evidence the parties and jurisdiction and factual allegations in the complaint, and the board adopts these allegations as the board's findings of fact.
Second. Okay, now a roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasselbeck?
Aye. Motion carries. Second item for discussion is a conclusion of law. The complaint makes conclusions of laws in paragraphs 1 to 2. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact, which we have just adopted, constitutes a violation of or violations of our statutes and rules. Is there a motion to adopt all the allegations of violations set forth in the complaint of the board's conclusion of law?
I move that the board finds the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint, and that the board adopt those alleged violations as the conclusions of law.
Second.
Okay, Al Rollman.
Who's the second?
Nina. Nina Lewis.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasselbeck?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36446.07. Dismiss the case. If the opinion of the board, the information is without merit, issue a letter of concern, issue a decree of censure, order of probation with specific terms and conditions, impose a civil penalty in the amount of no more than $500 per violation, suspension, and revocation.
I make a motion for revocation.
Second. Roll call out.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasselbein?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on all parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be determined in the board's order. And this concludes this matter. Thanks for attending.
And Mr. President, for purposes of the record, I would recommend making a statement that at no point during the proceedings did respondent appear.
Let the record then reflect that the respondent did not appear during this hearing. Thank you. And that concludes this hearing at 921 HR.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, now we will go to agenda item number 6, complaint cases. Just a reminder that the name of the resident is to be confidential and remain confidential. In public session, board members, staff, and licensee shall refer to the resident as resident or use the resident's initial. Item number A, consent agenda not to open a complaint investigation on facility manager that is related to an ADS enforcement action, items 3 through 21. I will move that we do not open an investigation.
I will second that.
Charles and Fred, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Let the record reflect Mr. Member Kerr has stepped out, but we are still at quorum. It is 9:23. Moving on to consent agenda B, complaint cases. Number 22, complaint 19-51 involving Savannah Sim. Come on. And Mr. Member Kerr is back with us. 9:23. Okay, Al, go ahead if you're ready.
Sure, this is complaint 19-51. Licensee is Savannah Stidham, and Savannah is a manager applicant at the present time. And the complainant is Sharon Freed. Ms. Freed was invited to today's meeting, but I received some correspondence from her within the last week or so indicating that due to her new work situation, she's unable to attend today's meeting.
Okay.
On April 2nd, 2019, staff initiated this complaint investigation after receiving a letter of complaint and speaking with Ms. Sharon Freed, a previous employee at Arizona Angels Assisted Living located in Dewey, Arizona. The allegations included that on approximately February 1st, 2019, Ms. Stidham hired Ms. Freed as a certified caregiver, even though Ms. Freed informed her she was not yet certified. Ms. Freed stated that she was unable to provide the care the residents at the facility required, and that Ms. Stidham failed to provide Ms. Freed her full pay for the days she worked at the facility. It was approximately 3 days. Ms. Stidham was notice of the complaint, and she did provide her written response and is here today to discuss the matter.
Thank you, Phil. So just so I'm clear, you were acting as a manager designee, or in what capacity were you acting?
Yes, manager designee. I am the owner also.
Okay. And do we have anything from any other authority, labor board, anything of that nature?
I encouraged her to go that route. I'm not sure if she has or what the result is.
Okay. And the, from my understanding, after reading all of this, it's pretty much she's angry that she didn't get paid for some hours.
Correct.
Her against you.
Yes.
How many caregiver assistants do you have on staff?
At this time or at that time?
At that time, at this time?
Just one.
And was she the only one?
At that time, yes.
And was she ever left alone with a resident?
No, sir.
Mr. President, is this board normally hear payroll disputes?
We don't hear payroll disputes. My only concern with this was that she was saying in the complaint that she was there by herself as a caregiver assistant. That was my concern.
Yeah, mine too.
So,
who's the actual manager of record if you are not at the time that she was working?
Her name is Kim Dickerson.
How come she's not here?
She's here.
Because the complaint is on the student.
Yes.
The complaint is on the owner?
As a manager applicant.
So she's an applicant. Mm-hmm.
But has not passed, correct?
What we're going to hear there.
Meaning that she was not the actual assisted living manager on record for this type of management that's happening in the home.
But she's correct. The owner of the home, and so she's the one that hired.
And she's also an applicant
right.
That the board's going to hear later, which it's we have jurisdiction over.
Very much so.
That's pretty clear.
Are there any other questions from the board?
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence for a violation of this complaint number 19-51 against manager Savannah.
Fred, your second?
Yes.
All in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, Okay, next case, item number 2319-31, Mia Darkus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, this is OPLATE 19-31. Licensee is Mia Darkus, who's present here today. Now, on October 26, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Rolling Hill Manor, located in Prescott. Compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Darkus was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a response. Now, on approximately December 20th of 2018, DHS took enforcement action, and they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 1 substantiated violation. And Ms. Marcus is here today to discuss the compliance inspection report.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Ms. Marcus, what are you doing now? I'm sorry.
Darkus, I
apologize. What are you doing now to ensure that your documentation for your care staff on their first aid and CPR training is being completed timely?
What we always should have done, it was just a complete oversight. We're not assuming that they're given 2 years at the same time. Because when we renew ours, we do the 2-year course, and when they come from outside facilities, we forget that that's not the policy, and we made an assumption, an error. So it's just.
So what are you doing differently now?
Just, we have to double check ourselves.
Do you have, how are you double checking yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry, on our orientation lists, we have the first aid, we have the CPR. And we check that when we get a new resident on their orientation.
New associate or resident?
Caregiver.
Do you have a tickler system as to when they are going to become new or do again?
Yes, we do. We do that. And we don't have new hires very often. My staff has been with me for quite a while. So when we do a renewal, we do the renewal first aid CPR at the same time, and it's always the 2 years. So when we got this person in, it was really, you know, an unfortunate oversight. Just, I saw the first aid, I saw the CPR, it was good. I didn't make the connection that the first aid had already expired.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Sounds like you've got a plan in motion and it's working out. So I will move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-31 involving manager Mia Darkus.
I will second.
So Fred and Charles, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. So thank you for being here.
That's it. Thank you.
You can breathe now.
Okay, Phil, next case is 19-33, Jessica Pennington. She did not sign in, so let's come back to her. Let's go on to 19-34. Ramon Ventura.
Complaint 19-34, licensee is Ramon Ventura. And on August 28th of 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Montebello Assisted Living LLC located in Mesa. Compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Mr. Ventura was noticed of a complaint and did provide a written response. On approximately November 21st, 2018, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations. And Mr. Ventura is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Ventura, question for you. Were there some issues between you and the owner of the property? Were there some issues between you and the owner of the property? Were you not able to get documents?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess.
Can you move the mic a little bit closer to you so we can hear you, please?
Can you please repeat the question?
Did you have issues with you and the owner of this group home to where you could not collect documents that you needed for this case?
Yeah, I didn't know what to do. All I thought was that I would be helping somebody set up a care home. So
how big was the care home?
Huh?
How big was the care home?
Big enough for four.
So it had four residents?
Yeah, at that time.
And were you the manager of this residence?
Yeah, supposed to be.
Were you there at the time of the inspection?
No, I was sick or something.
And how many hours are you normally at the residence?
For us. I don't set a time limit or anything. If I need to stay, if not, if everything's okay, I move on.
How do you know if it's okay?
The best way is visual and talk with people. I don't know. Look, I'm 83 years old and my memory's not too good anymore, so.
Do you wish to remain a manager?
No.
Are you willing to surrender your certificate?
Yes, very much.
Okay. Then I will go ahead and entertain a motion.
All right. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, the board finds sufficient evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R 33407A and B1, drug professional conduct and complaint number 19-34 involving manager Ramon Ventura, and the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days where the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Voluntary surrender of certificate.
Second. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
And Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasselton?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Yes.
Thank you for being here, sir. Okay, next case 19-37, and I see that he is listed on two different ones. Do you want to combine these?
Yeah.
Perfect. And let's combine 19-37 and 19-38 involving manager Brian Wilbanks. Is he here?
Yeah, we did so good last time.
I know, we did so good. But you know what? I'm ready to hear it.
He was here.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Okay, the first complaint is complaint 19-37. The licensee is Brian Wilbanks, who was invited to today's meeting, but apparently is not here. On November 20th of 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Oak Tree Care Home, located in Tucson. The compliance compliance inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Mr. Wilbanks was notified of the complaint and did provide a written response. On December 27th of 2018, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation concerning the CPR cards. Second complaint is 19-38. This complaint also involves Mr. Brian Wilbanks. And on November 26th of 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Plum Tree Care Home located in Tucson. That compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 4 different areas. Mr. Wilbanks was notified of the complaint and he did provide a written response. On December 27th, DHS took enforcement action, posted a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation. One caregiver did not have current evidence of first aid and CPR training.
Okay, thanks, Bill. So there's 7 on one and 5 on the other. They're kind of overlapping. Involves medications, CPR, service plans, and medications again.
Yeah, my first note requirement is medication management and service plans.
Sounds perfect.
Okay.
How long has he been in the intro?
Since
2015. So, Brandon.
He should know some of this stuff.
2015.
Yeah, it's 4 years.
They're out of line.
Do you know why that he's not attending?
They never know.
They okay. He hasn't called him.
Yeah, he's just not here.
All right.
I'll prepare to make a motion based on the information contained in the investigative report. I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.10R433.407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 19-37, the union body manager Brian Wilbanks, and also in complaint 19-38.
Second.
And when the board offers consent agreements, will be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. Consent agreements shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, the state of suspension, as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms will be met within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $500. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas. Medication management, personnel requirements, and service plans. Any cost of probation are those of the certificate holder.
Are you combining 1938 and
1936? Yes, yeah, I would have a motion.
Second, now. So we have Ken and Fred, Al Rocco.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Hasselhoff.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. And that concludes 1937 and 1938 on Brian Wilbanks. Moving on to 1946, case number 1946, Imelda Noriega.
For the record, I do know this. I have no prior knowledge of this particular incident, but I have a bias.
Thank you. Go on, are you ready? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, this is complaint 19-46. Licensee is Imelda Noriega, who is present here today. On September 7th of 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at San Judas Group Home located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 10 deficiencies in 6 different areas. 4 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Noriega was notified of a complaint and she did provide a written response. So on approximately October 18th of 2018, when DHS took enforcement action, and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 4 substantiated repeat violations and Ms. Noriega is here to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you, Phil. Ms. Noriega, how big is this facility?
It's for 9 residents.
And how long have you been the manager?
For many years, like 12 years, 12, 14 years.
Were you present at the time of the survey?
Yes, I was.
So my biggest question is, why the repeat deficiencies?
The previous year, I wasn't there for the inspection. So there was some miscommunication of the repeated deficiencies. What I did not do, and I blame myself for it, that I only corrected the items on the charts that I was inspected on, and I didn't go, because I haven't had any new residents, so I didn't go and update all my charts. I only updated the charts that were told that were wrong.
Okay. Have you since gone through all of your records?
Yes, I have. Now I know that if I have inspection, even if one file is not correct, I have to go in and fix every single, you know, make sure that everything's on there. There's a few documents on there that she had told me about the previous year, but I guess the lack of communication, because the same inspector came out, she had told me, I told you about it, but I told her you did not because I wasn't there, you know. But I did do the plan of correction and everything. It's updated and corrected.
I think it's always good to correct a surveyor that you spent good in the survey.
So can you briefly describe your process now? If a concern is brought to your attention or you discover a concern about a resident, what steps do you take? What do you do to identify the concern?
Yes.
Determine if any others are affected?
So what I did is, what I'm doing now is, if something's wrong in one file, I go and make sure that I go through every single file and correct it, not just that particular file.
Do you routinely say on some schedule that you review all of your files just as a matter of quality assurance?
Yes, that's what I'm doing now, and I also did like a little sheet of everything that's required in a file that I keep in my little agenda calendar. But I haven't had any new residents, so that I think that was part of the issue too, that I haven't had any new ones. It's all the same ones, and it was my fault that I didn't go and check every single file, and now I know that I have to do that.
Do you manage more than one home?
No, just one.
And about how many hours a week do you spend?
I'm there Monday through Friday for a lot of hours.
Like a lot, but approximately how many?
6 to 8 hours Monday through Friday, and then, you know, I'm on call, so I'm also 24 hours available by phone.
Have you done any additional education with relation to this issue that DHS brought before us?
Well, I started attending the Department of Health, the meetings that they have every 3 months, I believe.
And what sort of topics have you attended at those trainings?
So what I'm learning on the top deficiencies, on the things to do, and just a discussion about, you know, things on how to prevent from getting any deficiencies.
How do you manage your quality assurance?
What was that?
How do you manage your quality assurance?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, how do I manage it? Like,
how do you conduct it?
Oh, okay. So then I just go in, like, every day I go and check to make sure everything is needed, and now, like, I update my charts, and then every month I do my medication list and just make sure that everything is up to date, you know, with the caregivers doing the initialing when they administer the medication.
Are you performing any audits on your charts?
Yes, now I am. Yes.
Okay, and are you submitting those audits to your quality assurance?
Yes, and I also have like a little book that I have notes. And so every day, like, I do different notes on different things, and I have, like, I wrote down like every resident and with all their like CPR, or not CPR, I'm sorry, the TV that's going to be expiring, the flu, and I just have dates on there that I go back, and every month I check to see who's due on what.
Any other questions from the board? We're prepared to entertain a motion.
Staff is recommending a concern.
She's actually done some education through DHS. Those are held every 3 months.
Seems like she has a good system in place. I think it's a nice friendly reminder that when you go through survey, that it's not about just correcting what was caught, but also going through the rest of your records to ensure that you don't get that repeat deficiency. Seems like you learned that lesson the hard way.
Yes.
But it looks like that she has your quality assurance program in place. She is auditing the charts.
That's important when they're concerned.
Yeah.
How about concerning their ability to properly implement the quality assurance program?
Yes.
Perfect, because with the quality assurance, that could have been caught.
Yeah. Okay. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation. Complaint number 19-46 involving manager Nelda Noriega, but issued a letter of concern. The board's concern is manager failed to properly implement a quality assurance program.
Now, second. All in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I think when I see differences down at the bottom of this, this was signed over.
Okay, next case on the agenda 18-251 involving manager Thomas Remlow. Thomas Remlow. Are you prepared?
Well, I talked to him. The reason he's not here is he said he wasn't the manager. So, and that was his whole response.
He wasn't the manager at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we go forward.
Go ahead.
Okay, this is complaint 18-251. Licensee is Thomas Ramlow, who was invited to today's meeting but is not here. And on June 20th and June 21st of 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Prestige Assisted Living in Green Valley. The compliance inspection identified four deficiencies in four different areas. Mr. Ramlow was noticed of the complaint and he telephoned staff and said he was not the manager at the time of the survey. Staff directed support staff to contact the owner to find out who the manager was, and all indications were that Mr. Ramlow was the manager. On approximately August 14th of 2018, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantial violation.
Okay, thanks, Phil. So my understanding, he's saying he wasn't the manager, but we had records indicating he was.
Yes.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And this case involves him retaining a resident that's beyond their scope of service with behavioral health.
To the best of our knowledge, Phil, is he still the manager there? Or is
he has resigned.
I have dates 6/26 of 17 to 10/22 of 18.
Yeah,
is that right?
So he was the manager at the time?
Well, according to our records. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't, he never notified us.
And he was.
And he's not here today to work.
That's correct. And, you know, whose obligation is it to notify us?
It's
there, it's not ours.
I wonder, do they have a manager now? Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the start date on that manager?
I think it was
Jolene Udall. And she took over.
Jolene.
Jolene.
Jolene. She took over October 22nd, 2018.
Do we know if he's managing another facility?
The only way we know is if he asked for a duplicate or told us.
And we don't know.
No.
We don't know what he's doing, where he is. Or...
I know where he is. I just don't know if he's working.
Okay.
You know, when you came to the president to be on their scope, how does that do that form of disciplinary action and conditional education? The promoter service plans, quality assurance,
that's very concerning to me.
The service plan to pick it up, wouldn't it?
Yeah, service plan to sign the
service plan for patients they can't take care of.
What if we did like 3 hours of service plans per hour of quality service?
That really catch your vote.
Would you be willing to add a residency agreement on there? Because it would actually stipulate what their scope is in the residency agreement.
Yeah.
All right, there's a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.073, ARS 446.10, R433-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 18-251 involving manager Thomas Ramlow, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before a formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $400. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas. Service plans, quality assurance, and residency agreements.
Second.
Okay. Any cost of probation or those decisions of the certificate holder?
Ken and Susan. Ken and Susan on this. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Seaman.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Hasselton.
Aye.
Motion carries. The next case is 19-44. Involving manager Valerie Hunter. Good morning.
Okay. Okay, this is complaint 19-44. Licensee is Valerie Hunter, who's present here today. On August 9th and August 14th of 2018, DHS conducted two assisted living facility complaint investigations at Canyon Valley Memory Care Residence located in Green Valley. The complaint investigations identified 5 deficiencies in 2 different areas. Ms. Hunter was noticed of the board's complaint. She did provide a written response. On approximately September 25th, 2018, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,750 for 2 substantiated violations, and Ms. Hunter is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thanks, Phil. Mrs. Hunter, you're no longer managing this facility, correct?
That's correct.
And were you the one that was in charge of doing the hiring?
Somewhat.
Can you elaborate?
In conjunction with the health service director, I oversaw that.
How large was this facility?
54 beds.
Did you have a nurse on staff?
Apartments. Yes.
Did you have
a service director?
Did you have a business office manager on staff?
Yes.
Or an HR person?
All of those things combined in one person. The business office and HR and front office receptionist is one person.
So when a new hire came on, did you oversee that new hire process, sign off on anything?
Those files would come to me, but there was a process in place as far as processing the references that responsibility belonged to the health service director. The fingerprint clearance was processed through the business office. And that's one of the deficiencies came about because of the fingerprint clearance situation that their system, their process was to request the payment, the $67 that's sent in for the fingerprint clearance to the corporate office. And so there was a delay in receiving that. And that's how we remediated this, was to directly pay it and get the reimbursement from the corporate office instead of waiting. They had waited to receive that, and we went past that 20-day, allowing the person to work only 20 days before that was received. That had been their previous process, and I guess they got a deficiency. I mean, that came up previously, that was the previous, and then this one, while I was manager there for several months, I worked there, was a repeat of the fingerprint.
How long had you been the manager at the facility prior to state coming in for a survey?
That was in January,
In August.
I started in May.
So you had been there a month or 2 months, roughly?
You talk about the processes and the different people that were responsible for them.
Yeah.
Did you review what's accomplished to see if those people were actually doing what they're responsible for? Or do you just assume that they've done it and you don't have to worry about it?
No, I sought to verify, and with the fingerprint clearance, that was a process that the business office manager managed, but it was just the timing of it that I thought things were in order with it, and it was that several people had gone over that.
Once a new hire comes in,
yes.
Just so I'm clear, because I think he's asking the same question I'm
okay.
trying to get to. When a new hire comes in, once that new hire's file has been complete, it's all put together in a file, do they hand you the file to review and sign off on prior to that person working a day on the floor?
No. That
is that your typical standard of practice as a manager?
I would say yes, that I do that review. This was my first, second time working there at Canyon Valley, but I'm not typically a assisted living manager. So,
What do you do typically?
What I've been doing for a number of years is interim nursing home administrator. So a little bit different process with HR, but yes, to answer your original question, I would review those files, participate in the orientation, and that was one of our remediations, is to leave those files out so none of them were filed with any incomplete pieces.
Was this person hired with the fingerprint card while you were the manager, or were they hired prior to your manager license being pumped?
I think there were instances of both of those circumstances. There, it was more than one individual.
Okay. So let me make sure I understand. You said that previously, when you would have to pay for fingerprint application, the money would come from a corporate office.
Right.
And part of your plan was, and there were delays getting that money.
So yes.
As part of your plan, the facility took it over at facility level, paid the money, and sent in the application.
Right, immediately.
Okay.
How did you pay it at the facility level for this facility?
I actually paid
you
out
paid
of my
it
own
out your
pocket.
Credit card, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just, waited for reimbursement.
Where is this corporate office located?
In Portland, Oregon.
And they don't get that Arizona doesn't care about their systems. Do we have our own rules? I imagine it's an ongoing struggle.
I think they became more sensitive to it through this experience, and that we, the facility.
facility couldn't wait for that process, that that was ineffective.
Okay, thank you.
Can you help clarify, you were the manager of this place?
Yes.
And are you saying that there were some individuals that were hired that did not have fingerprint cards?
No, the application had been filled out, but the sending it off was, it had to be accompanied by the fees, that was delayed.
So are you saying they had fingerprint cards or not?
They did not.
Because that was my original question.
Right.
So, were you having people work that did not have fingerprint cards?
Yes.
David, it looks like one of the, oh, sorry. David, it looks like one of the, at least one of the individuals started in June, and there was a couple of like, July, August, maybe three.
And we, what I understood from the surveyor was that we had a 20-day window from the time that application was sent off with the fees. So when the applicant filled out their application and we said yes to them, the remedy was, when we became aware of this, or when I became aware of this, was to go out that day. And I even overnighted the applications just to expedite it.
And it looks like a lot of this was going on prior to you even coming in. You've been the manager only a couple of months prior to State coming in. How many employees were there? Approximately 100?
90
employees?
It's closer to me.
Think you could have gotten through all the files and done an audit?
You know, that was another thing I implemented, and so we did a more rigorous schedule of audits. And when I first came in, we were going through the, I had a part-time receptionist add some hours so she could start going through all the employee files, because I was concerned things like references and other things that have been farmed out to the health service department and or to the business office that I was concerned might be falling through the cracks.
And yeah, it looks like you hit the ground running and started trying to dig in on it real quick. I think at this point, I think she implemented a very solid plan. Or getting the, not depending on some other entity outside of the community to wait for the money to come in. I am prepared to make a motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-44 against manager Valerie Hunter.
I'll second.
We have Ken and Melanie.
I have a question. Are you still the manager now?
No.
How long were you actually there?
10 months in total.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so there's a motion to dismiss by Ken and seconded by Melanie. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries. Let the record reflect that member Lewis has stepped out, but we still have quorum. It is 10:16. Okay, so next case is 1908 involving Victoria Green.
Complaint 19-08. Licensee Victoria Green is present here today. On August 30th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Tanky Birdie Assisted Living Home 3 LLC, located in Tucson. The compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Green was notice of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And on approximately October 18th, 2018, DHS took enforcement action where they originally imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 2 substantiated violations, one of which was a repeat. But it appears in reviewing the documentation that the civil money penalty was settled for $1,000. And Ms. Green is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you, Phil. Ms. Green, how large was your facility that you manage?
I'm licensed for 8, and I have 6 residents right now.
Okay. And how often do you spend at that community? How many hours?
I live in that home.
You live there? So can you explain your repeat deficiency about the medications being administered without orders?
Yes.
Or not as ordered?
Yes, I know. I made this error in the, last time, and I promised myself not to, be more conscientious about it. But then I was so sick that when the inspection came, that I didn't have time to review all the medication, like from the pharmacy. And there was like a deficiency, like you already know about the levothyroxine and that was given, like not the same dosage that was ordered. Like we have an order for 150 milligram, but then when the order came that month from Walgreens, prior to that, the resident has an order. She was on hospice, and there was a record with Walgreens that the dosage was only 115. So there was a confusion there from, I don't want to blame the technician from Walgreens, but when they sent it, they did not check, the proper medication also.
Did you check the medication wherever the meds
came in? That was my fault. Okay, that couldn't be, they said 115, but that's also my fault that I did not check the bowel bag.
And are you the one that sets up the Medisets?
Yes. But at that time, I rely on my caregiver because I was not, I'm sick. So I thought it was all taken care of, and then they came, and so because I had knee surgery, and I was.
I'm sorry to hear that you had surgery. Hope you're doing well. My concern for the resident is how many days did the resident not receive the right medication?
I believe a week or so. That's when the inspection came, or the inspector came.
So what if the inspector wouldn't have come? How long would it have gone on that the resident was receiving the wrong med?
I asked my, from the last time that we were not, we have a deficiency with the medication, I told my assistant that to be very, very careful about it. And then that time I didn't have time to check it.
Do you have a system in place? Do you do a medication review? Ever so often?
Yes.
How often do you do that?
Like every 3 months.
Every 3 months?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the resident could have, based on what you just testified to, the resident could have gone 3 months and 1 week receiving the wrong medication.
No, we receive bubble box every month.
Right. But you indicated previously that the technician filled the wrong order. There's no indication that that would have happened again. You would have not rechecked it for 3 months. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. It's not every 3 months. Every 1 month that they send us a bubble pack.
So then the resident would have received the wrong medication for a month. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And then the other issue I wanted to ask about was the fingerprint card. What happened with the fingerprint clearance card for one of your employees?
The time that I hired her, her fingerprint is valid. But there's no excuse for that deficiency, but I'm new on all the regulations of the state. I didn't know that there was a new regulation that if the caregiver doesn't work for 6 months, that they have to renew the fingerprint.
So I'm confused. Are you saying you think they have to renew their fingerprint?
That's
or do you have to verify that they're still valid?
It's in the rules that they have to.
They have to renew. That's what I was told, and I verified.
The card is good for 5-6 years.
I know.
We got this. It is in the rules that if they have a gap in employment for 6 months, mm-hmm. that they have to resubmit, even if their card is still valid, and there's no mm-hmm. sanctions against it. And so a lot of people certainly miss that.
Mm-hmm. What's the back end?
Well, the rules changed in 2014.
So when was the last time that you read those regulations? I see you've been certified since July of 99.
Yes.
When's the last time that you've read the new regulations that came out?
Well,
what year did they come out?
2014. But they keep changing the regulations. So we have.
Okay. I'm kind of concerned with regards to medication. You know, a resident potentially have gone a month without receiving the right medication. Which could be a life and safety issue. That concerns me.
It looked like it was the wrong dosage, right?
That's correct. It was needed a higher dose mm-hmm.
yeah.
for a reason.
Yeah. Well, maybe some medication.
Yeah, I'd be prepared to make a motion.
Okay.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3. ARS 44610, R433, 407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct, complaint number 19-08 involving manager Victoria Green, and the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, the stay of the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be met, to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Medication management and personnel requirements. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
I'll second.
So we have Ken and Melanie. Al, roll call.
Member Bill Franken?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasselton?
Aye.
Motion carries. Case is 19-42 involving manager Sarah Chavez.
I spoke with Sarah late last week, and she has a she wanted to come to today's meeting but is unable to. She can come to next month's meeting. So if you want to defer it until then,
are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, and there's no, and also Jessica Pennington, she was in the third case earlier. She's not here. She lives in Bullhead City, and she had an issue with getting somebody to watch her children and drive down here, drive back up. So she also can come next month.
Okay. Well, I'm okay if you want to move those to next month.
Okay.
Is it 32?
Number 24 and number 32.
24 and 32.
Okay, so then the next case is item number 33, 18-248, involving manager Monique Lormier.
Department. I didn't trust my GPS.
Well, what you mean is you put the wrong address in the GPS, so it took you to the wrong place.
No, I checked this morning on my phone, on my smartphone. It's smarter than me. And it said Adams Street, the street was 2940, and then the address was to remember the number, and then it told me to go around Washington and Jefferson, and then when I was coming in, I saw Adams on the right.
So we're glad that you made it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
Claim 18-248, licensee is Monique Lormier, who's present here today. And on June 12th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Above and Beyond Senior Care located in El Mirage. Compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Ms. Lormier was eventually identified as a manager and was notice of a complaint, and the only response staff received back was an email stating she was a manager. On approximately July 17th, 2018, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 2 substantiated violations. And Ms. Lormier is here today to discuss the compliance inspection report.
Thank you, Phil. How large is this facility?
The facility has been closed, to my understanding, sir.
How large was the facility?
I believe it was licensed for 5, and it had 3 residents at the time.
And how long have you been a manager?
I was the interim manager. My mother, Laura Lormier, ran the care home for
9, 10. Perfect. How many hours did you spend there at the facility?
Not many, sir. Not. I'm embarrassed to say.
Okay.
I did not check on it, sir. I gave my mother my manager certificate and my renewal certificate. She wanted to travel to Europe. She was going to be back and forth. And I said, let me know the dates when you will leave and I will cover. And I know the caregiver, I will cover the home as the manager. I know that I can give a delegation of manager, which is good for 1 month while I'm away. And I was back and forth as well. And I did not.
So you had 5 residents. If I'm hearing your testimony correct, you had 5 residents.
3
residents, I'm sorry. You were licensed for 5. You had 3 that were there that were not being overseen by a certified manager for at least 1 month. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir. But it is not my facility. It is my mother's and my brother's facility.
Did you hang your certification at the facility?
I did not. I left my certificate and my little renewal certificate with my mom, and she assured me that she will hang it when she goes away. And
right. So you had your certification hung on a facility.
She said it was not hung because she could not find my big certificate. And I said, the license, the little blue one that you receive in the mail, is sufficient proof that I am manager. And in the event of a survey.
Is your mother a manager?
I'm sorry, sir. She was, and she lost her manager's license.
I can see why. She's a manager, but she didn't know that your little blue thing was your manager's certificate. She didn't know that?
She's
just too busy flying back and forth.
No, sir. She's 76 years old, and there's a lot going on, and they went out of business. My brother and her closed the business, and she will travel. And my brother is Nick Lorimer, the owner of the pub. and beyond, what was beyond and above, now it's closed, is trying to do something else, another, try to find another occupation.
Okay, Phil, I have a question for you. Do you have a record that she requested a duplicate of a license for this facility?
No.
Were you a manager anywhere else at this time?
No, sir, I have not been a manager for many, many years.
Did you or did you not email and say that you were a manager of this facility?
I did. My mother told me at one point something was going on.
And you emailed board staff and said that you were a manager of record at the time of the survey.
But you didn't request a separate certificate for this facility?
She wouldn't need one, a duplicate, if she has her original and she's not hanging anywhere else.
Right.
If her mother were to hang it, then it would have been fine, right? That was the main issue, wasn't it?
Well, there was no...
There was no manager
there? No, yeah.
No, she didn't. She wasn't physically there. Nor was the mother.
My mother was there. I'm sorry, sorry to interrupt. My mother said she was there, and she told me that I was 2.5-3 hours away. My brother called me as well, said, you need to get there. And I said, I'm far. I'll get dressed. I'll be there as soon as I can. And then my mother called me and said, everything's okay. And you
don't okay, I guess I'm confused, okay? So help me out here.
Yes, sir.
You just testified and said that you sent your certification to your mother, who was going to be out of the country flying to Europe for 2 to 3 months and needed someone to cover. That was your first story.
That is not correct, sir.
So which one do you want me to believe?
I don't know what you will believe. I'm telling you the truth, sir. I gave my mother my license a long time ago, thinking I would manage the care home at one point. She decided to give the care home to my brother. They changed the name. My mother has been a manager since 1998. I have been a manager, and I've been director of the ALHA board and served in the capacity of secretary as well. I have closed my own care homes in January 31st of 2013, and I did not keep up with where my license, my big license was. And I had renewed my license. I thought at one point I may come back to being a full-time or a proper manager. And I have changed occupations. I'm working for Nordstrom's right now and trying to do something that's less stressful for me.
So are you not planning on using your certificate
no,
anymore?
Sir, I would, not
to, would you be willing to surrender that certificate?
Yes, sir. If I found it, but my mother said she cannot find it,
found it or not, would you be willing to sign a consent agenda agreement to surrender?
Yes.
Great.
I did not plan to renew my license. I received a letter at my friend's house, Orchid Care Park, and then after that letter, I looked at the CUs that were available, and it was too many to do, and not enough places. I called 20, 25 people on that list, and I couldn't find live classes to do my certificate before, I believe, June 30th. My certificate official, June 30th, 2019, my certificate will expire.
Okay, I'm prepared to make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R4 33407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 18-248 involving manager Monique Garber. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, and the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Voluntary surrender of certificate.
Fred, will you second?
Yes.
Fred, second. Kim's motion. Al, roll call.
Member Bill Frank?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hassel?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. God bless you. And let the record reflect it is 10:26 and Member Lewis is back with the board.
Can we take a break, Mr. President, before I just recap? Okay. All right, we'll take a 5-minute recess. I'll send this to you about the questions. Back into order. It is 10:42 a.m. And our next case on the agenda item is case number 19-40 involving manager Regina Vitton.
Good morning. This complaint 19-40, licensee is Regina Vitton, who is present here today. On October 10, 2018, EHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Soul Acoma Assisted Living LLC located in Phoenix. The complaint investigation identified 14 deficiencies and 6 different areas. Ms. Vitton was noticed of the complaint and she did provide a written response. On approximately December 14, 2018, EHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $2,275 for 11 substantiated violations. And Ms. Vitton is here today to discuss the complaint investigation report.
Thank you.
Sir.
Take it outside.
If you would like to take that outside.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Good morning. Thank you for being here. Explain, how large is this facility?
It's a licensed within.
And how many were there at the time of the survey?
The time, 8 residents.
And were you present at the time of the survey?
No.
And why were you not present at the time of the survey?
By that time, because it's a surprise visit, and I was at school that time.
Okay. So what hours do you attend school?
Between 8 o'clock to 4.
So from 8 to 4, are they able to reach you if there's an issue in the facility?
Yes.
So did they notify you that state was present?
Yes.
How many hours were you spending before you were spending in the home? In the assisted living area?
Sorry. After school, between 3 to 6 hours.
Every day?
Every day, yes.
Did you feel that was sufficient?
Yes.
Did you feel that you had the support that you needed to manage the facility?
Actually, no.
Explain.
Because by that time, the original owner of the facility, he's out of state, so he is not living here. So whatever issue, I just called him by phone. And actually, I did not meet him personally, so we just talked over the phone.
How long have you been a manager in these conditions?
By that time, because I received my temporary certificate, I started August last year. So, and then the survey is October, so just like almost 2 months. And I just take over that facility to manage.
Once the survey was done, you got your letter from the state. Did you prepare your plan of correction?
Yes, I did, but the Department of Health, they did not ask any plan of correction because it goes to enforcement right mm-hmm. away. And so, because by that time also, because we have a new owner, and they did not inform us that we have a new owner. So when we received that the deficiency, so the new owner, so she was scared. And my plan is to answer the correction, the deficiency, but she was scared and she said, don't do anything yet or any plan of correction until the Department of Health
as a plan of correction. Okay, so you had just been certified
as a manager under a temporary certification.
Yes.
You were there approximately 2 months?
2 months, yes.
2 months. You're having issues with the ownership?
Like the transition of the new owner from the previous owner and for the new owner, because I did not get any support from them. Because by the time also we are short-staffed, and at the same time I'm on the process of fixing all the papers, checking all the paperwork, and at the same time I'm doing caregiving because we have short-staffed.
Just so you know, short staff, that's kind of rampant everywhere right now.
Yes,
so we're all dealing with that. Where are you hanging your certification now?
Right now at Charleston Assisted Living.
And how often are you there?
Every
just
day.
Just curious.
Every day, because I live there.
So you were only there for 2 months?
2 months,
correct?
Yes.
So if there's no other concerns from the board, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Yep.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-40 against manager Regina Vicky.
Yes.
Did I pronounce that correct?
Yes.
I'll second it.
So Charles and Fred, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Next on the agenda is case number 19-41 involving manager Kim Dickerson. Good morning. Okay, Phil, whenever you're ready, you can outline the case for us, please.
Okay, this is complaint 19-41. Licensee is Kim Dickerson, who's present here today. On September 4th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Arizona Angels LLC, located in Dewey. Complaint investigation identified two deficiencies in two different areas. Ms. Dickerson was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. So on approximately October 11th of 2018, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated repeat violation. And Ms. Dickerson is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Good morning. So this involved a complaint investigation where DHS came into your group home. How big was the group home?
Licensed for 10.
Licensed for 10? How many were there at the time?
I believe 9.
9. Were you there present at the time of the survey?
Yes.
You were. And were you the manager prior to this? Were you the manager June 19th of 2018?
Yes.
So what's going on with the caregivers?
With the caregivers, we had some that, you know, they said, we'll help you do whatever you need. And then I find out that wasn't the case.
Do you look at their certifications? Do you try to validate the certifications?
I do now, yes.
What were you doing then?
I basically was just taking their certificate and going, okay, Lolly taught you, Lolly Masterson taught you, this is a good certificate, and come to find out that isn't the case.
Okay. And so are you clear now how to look at a certification, ensure that everything that's needed to be on the certification is
yes.
there?
Yes, and to call the number. To verify.
What number are you calling?
It's a 602 number. I didn't bring my date book.
Is this the complaint? Was this the caregiver that complained that You did not, you purposely hired her knowing that she did not have a certification? Is this the same?
Oh.
Did you understand the question?
Yes, she asked me if it was the same caregiver then.
Alleged that you guys hired her knowing that she was not certified.
Yeah.
So just for the record, so that we can all be clear, you were working at a group home that was owned by a previous individual on our complaint agenda, Savannah Stidham, correct?
Yes.
You had a caregiver that filed a grievance with DHS and had a complaint. Was this the caregiver that filed a complaint with DHS that you are aware of that brought DHS to your home for an inspection on a complaint notice?
No, I'm not aware. It's the same caregiver.
Okay. How many caregivers were working at the time that did not have certification that DHS found out about?
One.
How many caregivers do you typically have in that home? Or that you had during that time?
We had five.
Do you feel you were supported by management?
Yes, I do.
Do you still manage both homes?
Yes, I do.
And so you spend 4 hours, four times a week in this home?
No, I did at the time of the complaint. Now I'm doing more like 30, 35 in each care home.
Different employee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were 3 of 6 substantiated on that complaint investigation. It's kind of alarming, you know, that to have individuals caring for residents, right, that aren't certified. Because then there's no way of knowing what their skills and abilities are. Do you guys normally check the skills and abilities prior to placing them with a resident?
Yes, we do. We have an orientation form, and she had passed all the orientation. I just did not realize her certificate was not valid.
Have you done any educational opportunities since this complaint inspection?
Well, I've gotten to the Alpha conference, and we had agencies come in and train us. Other than that, no.
So some of the issues that I, for the board, that I have with this, some of the findings under the inspection by DHS is that you had someone that was not certified working alone caring for residents that was not even certified to care for residents in the group home on weekends. And they would start on Friday night at around 10 p.m. and they would not be relieved until Monday at 6 a.m. So you had 9 residents in your facility being cared for by someone who had no training.
Is that person alone during the weekend?
According to the DHS inspection, yes.
You see what?
Education, personal
requirements.
Yep. Okay, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay.
Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of the ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433407A and B1 for professional conduct and complaint number 19-41 involving manager Ken Dickerson. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed in 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $100. 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required to document completion in each of the following areas. Personnel requirements. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
I'll second. Kevin Charles on the motion. Alex, you will roll call, please.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasselton?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. I moved my coffee because we have the exact same cup. But I had not made
it. I know that you will have the same. It's a pretty question.
Who will be the sergeant at arms?
All right, next case 19-55 involved manager Carmona Villamor.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Sure, this is complaint 19-55. The licensee is Mark Carmona Villamayor, who is present here today. And on October 30th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Precious Loving Home Care located in Surprise. Compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 4 different areas. Ms. Villamayor was noticed of a complaint, and she did provide a response to inform staff that she's no longer the manager of that facility. Now, on approximately January 11th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for 1 substantiated violation, that being 1 resident did not have a service plan. And Ms. Villamayor is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board. Thank you, Phil. Ms. Mayor, how big of a facility is this one?
Okay, the facility is licensed for 7, but during the time of inspection, it got 5 residents.
And how long have you been the manager of this facility?
Approximately 10 months.
And were you in charge of the hiring?
It was the owner who happened to be the manager designated at the same time.
What about the service plans?
For the service plan, I know that my responsibility is to make sure that all the documentations are complete. But then again, since I'm not the owner, I would remind the owner whether or not the service plan is on due. But then she has the sole discretion to decide for when to get the service plan since she's handling the budget for the service plan fee.
When you talk about a service plan fee, can you elaborate?
Okay, so most of the time, the owner waived the payment of the service plan for the residents. So she...
What payment are you speaking about?
Okay, so the service plan, we hire a nurse, okay. And the nurse is charging $45 for that. And during that time, I told the manager to make sure, the manager designated what happened to the owner, to make sure that the service plan should be completed within 14 days upon admission. And she said that everything has been taken care of. And to my surprise, I know that I should have checked the documentation myself and see it with my 2 eyes. But then, without my knowledge, she waited for the nurse that she is comfortable with to do the service plan. And she mentioned to me that the nurse happened to have an accident, something like that, and so the nurse was not able to attend to the service plan on time.
So how long had it been before the service plan had been finalized?
Okay, so it was finalized 3 weeks, so it's over the due of within 14 days.
So it went up to 21 days?
Yes, sir.
What are you guys doing differently?
Okay, actually, in my case, I do have a tracking system. I would make sure that everything is in place, but the owner has her own way of doing it. Like the documentation, for example, I would tell her just to place everything in one place, so every time I would go, there would be an easy access on my end, but then the next time I would go, it's no longer there. So actually, I was supposed to be manager for only 3 months for her transition of the business. But since she asked me and begged to me that I should stay with her because she has no money to pay for the manager, I waited for her to be ready, but we have an argument with how to make things correctly. So with this case that had happened, I told her I would like to consider more, but then my license is at stake, so I have to pull out. And she agreed with me, but then I have to stay with her until everything has been resolved, like the plan of correction is being corrected, and then she was able to find a manager. I don't know if she's able to be or not, but nonetheless, that's where the thing has transpired.
So all of this occurred because you had conflict with the owner, and the owner's not allowing you to manage the facility appropriately.
Yes.
And does that also include the situation where the owner acted as a representative for a resident? Were you involved in that decision?
Okay. Actually, sir, I was never aware that she did do the POA on her behalf, because when the person admission, the resident signed for herself, which means that the resident is capable for deciding for herself. And to my surprise, I even didn't know that she became the POA until there was this case or there was an inspection, because she hid that information to me.
So then when these things became known to you, and you knew that you were having issues with owner not doing things the way that you were prescribing, you then pulled your certificate out?
Yes, sir.
When did you leave there?
So the inspection was done sometime in October. I even didn't know that there was an inspection. But then I told her, so I need to pull out my license. But then she said, you have to help me with the process and how to correct my deficiency. So I held her, and my last day was December, because we did not receive the letter until November for the correction. So, and then I pulled out my license December.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation. Dismiss complaint number 19-55 against manager Macron Villalobos.
I second.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. I do have a question. If the owner acted as the POA,
DHS
will have.
Yeah, DHS
got
authority on that.
Yeah.
And it has to be revoked.
So do we know if this went to DHS?
DHS
found it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, next case, 1904, involving manager Jose Carlos.
Good morning.
Okay,
Phil, if you're ready.
Yes, I'm ready.
Perfect. Phil, if you can validate the case.
Okay, sure. This complaint 19-04. Licensee is Jose Carlos, who's present here today. And on June 4th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Elda Care at Siesta, located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 50 deficiencies in 12 different areas. 8 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Mr. Carlos was notified of the complaint, and he said he wasn't the manager. On July 24th, DHS took enforcement action when they revoked the facility license. And Mr. Carlos is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you, Phil. Just a quick question, Phil. Do we have records showing that he was the manager for the survey or no?
All indications are that he was.
Okay. We don't have anything. Excuse me, sir. I'm asking a question. Phil, do we have anything on file that he submitted, something, that the change of appointment, notice of appointment, ending his appointment?
No.
No? Okay.
Sir, if you weren't the manager, did you send a letter to this board telling the board you weren't the manager?
No, I didn't.
If I could, too, on the revocation notice with DHS, they listed as a manager.
Thank you.
Okay.
So by all rights for this, he was the manager.
You didn't tell us he would?
You mean in DHS has him as the manager?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look
he
on
was
the
manager.
He was the manager.
Enclosure of their order.
Is he managing something else?
Are you currently managing anywhere?
Yes, I am.
Where are you currently managing?
At 1620 West Jasper Drive, and that one in Saratoga. I'm sure those don't even realize that we're still managing the facility at Shasta, because I know the rules and regulations that I can only manage to.
So are you a licensed? Are you holding your license somewhere else other than the Jasper Street one?
Say that again, please.
Do you have your license hanging somewhere else other than the Jasper?
Yes, with the, it's called New Beginnings in Gilbert.
So how far apart are those two?
Approximately 15 minutes drive.
How many miles? If you could just give Phil those addresses, we can find out. My question
on the other hand, they're going to be now. How much?
You'll be within 24.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to ask him if he knew how many miles. Yeah. You already answered
the question. How much time were you spending in this facility?
Which one of the two?
The one that brought you here,
Sierra.
The Sierra.
That was a long time ago. I've been there most of the time during the day, but.
The survey happened in 2018, June. Do you recall that time period and how much time you were spending in the? In the home?
In June 18th?
Or any time before that? A year before that, too.
I go to the school facilities at least once a week and spend about 5 hours mostly to check that the surroundings are clear and won't do any harm to the residents. And then talk to the residents to find out how they're feeling and if there's any problem, if I could be of help. And then I concentrate on the medication to make sure that it's given on time and that the caregivers sign as they give the medication.
So during that time period, you were making at least one visit a week to the Siesta property to ensure what you just listed, to make sure everything was going well in the home, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So even though you're stating that you were not the manager, you were still acting as a manager in that home?
No.
Who else was making visits to ensure that everything per the regulations was going okay?
The owner of the facility.
Was the owner a certified assisted living manager?
I am not sure about that.
Is the owner Ariel?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Ariel's the manager. She's supposed to be manager of record there in 2017. Just for one day.
Mm-hmm. Well, my concern is these are some substantial. I mean, you have 50 deficiencies in 12 different areas. And this is a group home, correct?
Yes. On what date was that?
My question is, it was a group home, correct? How large of a group home was this? How many residents?
Are you talking about Siesta?
I'm still talking about Siesta.
I think the last time I was there about six.
So six residents, 50 deficiencies.
And several repeat from 2017.
Eight were repeat.
Oh. Phil, when was the last time you were there?
Siesta?
Siesta.
A long time ago.
How long?
Maybe over a year.
Okay. Who was managing when it got shut down?
I have no idea who the manager was.
Do they have a manager?
I don't even know that.
Have you listed on a number of occasions? Two?
Yes, I am. That's right, but I don't remember being
so,
the manager.
So just for the record, Phil, you were just showing him a document. What document were you just showing him?
The revocation order from DHS.
So on the revocation order from DHS, you're indicating that record shows he has his certification as the manager.
They have him listed as manager and Ariel Carlos as owner.
Perfect.
But he's claiming he wasn't the manager.
But we have no record of that, correct? We have no record from him stating that he took his certification down.
No.
And it is
we have a printout in the old system. Now remember, it's been updated. Mm-hmm. So if he, according to the old system, he was at Siesta from 2009 to October 2017.
October.
And at New Beginning since 2016, and at Helping Hand since 2010. Now, if he has changed where he's managing, the new database is not going to tell me that. It's just going to tell me an address that's associated with it. It's not going to tell me where it's currently managed.
But it's still required to turn in a notice of appointment, whether it's a service request or at this time, or fax or email.
And we have no record of that, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
So he agreed or was offered a consent agreement in February for voluntary surrender. Has he signed that?
No.
It was forwarded to the Attorney General on March 19th.
For a formal hearing.
Okay.
But did Phil just say we have in the old system that he
was the manager
through 2017?
Through 2017.
But October. Mm-hmm. And this complaint is December. So he wasn't the manager.
I think it's June of 2018 is the survey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we need to identify who the manager was.
Well,
yeah. Ariel is a manager, is that correct?
Yeah, he's a manager, but he's the owner as well.
Right, but he does have a manager certificate.
Right.
June 18th.
Yeah. Do we know Ariel?
And
to show me.
Well, we have him at Siesta too for
a day.
A day. He's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And all is it at this point? I don't really. I mean, we're so uncertain whether or not he was the manager there, but we're still pending.
A
complaint that's going to a formal hearing. Is it possible that this one could be closed or set aside until a formal hearing? Could they be combined? What are our options?
It's a great question.
Okay. Since the other one's been voted to formal hearing or forward to formal hearing. Sabrina can't
comment.
Give us legal advice on that. It'd have to be an independent counsel.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, and I would have to check with with our independent counsel if we could roll it in.
We can defer this one.
We could table it until we have a decision.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. Let's just defer it, and if you can figure out who the actual manager was, that'd be great.
I don't know if you'd be able to.
And nobody's at risk because of Silly's funds.
Right. But if he was the manager,
he currently operates two more, and you see the citations are, I mean, it's disgusting the care that was being provided in that home. And I'll hate for any other resident in Arizona to be receiving that type of care anywhere else.
In my AEL, they can't do immediate jeopardy, can they?
No.
I guess they just shut you down.
Because what I'm thinking, that's why they wrote this many. They had every intention of wanting to close it down.
The residents that you manage, are they Medicaid residents? Do they receive all TEPs?
No, none of them receive all TEPs.
Okay. Because I know under all TEPs, they can do an IGA and remove everybody out of the AL.
Okay. But since they weren't, they're not private pay, I think they just wrote this thing.
Okay. If I could, since it was a question of who the manager was, support staff had contacted Ariel Carr. Asked him directly who the manager was at the time, and he said it was Jose Carlos.
And that's straight from the owner.
I'm sorry?
That was straight from the owner.
Straight from the owner. He might be. I mean, I'll confirm it, but based on the documentation from DHS and the phone call with Errol Carlos, that's why I was asking. Is there any way we could get Mr. Carlos here, Errol Carlos, to join us? If we table this,
we could subpoena him for
good. I'll tell him.
But here's my question, and maybe it's a typical Fred question. If the owner says he was, and if we have no documentation from him saying I'm not, then ipso facto, he is.
Well, to me,
just move ahead. Whether he says you don't get to come in and say, oh, I just wasn't the manager anymore. Mm-hmm. I think we proceed, he was the manager, and proceed from that point on.
He's still a certified manager, depending on the outcome of the formal hearing.
Yes, we should have had and wait and see where the formal goes.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. That makes sense.
Depending on the outcome of the formal hearing, we could then decide how we want to move forward on it.
Yeah.
You could also, in this particular case, if we found it, you could forward it directly to formal hearing and combine the two.
Yes. We could send this immediately to formal hearing.
Yes.
Under a consent agenda for voluntary surrender.
No, it would be a motion to set directly to formal hearing. No consent agreement.
I got it.
I like that.
All right. So this would be sufficient evidence. Okay. All right, I'll make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of the violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433407A, and B1 for a professional conduct complaint number 19-04 involving manager Jose Carlos. And the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions.
I'm sorry, is it going to be a consent agreement, or are you just going to go directly?
Oh, okay, let me back up. All right. So we'll restart. So it's basically in the beginning, based on the information, two statutes and rules that I had stipulated in the motion, and that this case be forwarded to formal hearing.
Second. Ken and Charles.
Can you state that as a combination, not the other?
No,
separate.
Roll call, Al, whenever you're ready.
Yeah. Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasseltine?
Nay.
Motion carries. Thank you. Bye.
siesta or alone. Thank you. Okay, Phil, next case is 18-89 involving manager Nikita.
And it's going to be the same situation we just had. This would be interesting. Sorry, Phil, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Is Nikki present?
Not on the sign of sheet.
Okay.
If you read Phil's notes, he's incommunicado.
Can we be sure this is complaint 18-89 on September 5th of 2017. DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Emerald Home Care 2 located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 19 deficiencies in 9 different areas. 4 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Mr. Nikita was a notice of the complaint. He responded via telephone. Instead, he was not the manager, but did not provide information to staff identifying the manager. Since the case was initiated, staff made 2 telephone calls to Mr. Nikita's phone number of record, did not receive a call back. Staff also sent a letter to Mr. Nikita requesting a call to discuss his complaint. He did not provide a response to the letter. And on November 9th, 2017, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 4 substantiated violations, 3 of those were repeats. And Mr. Nikita was invited to today's meeting, but does not appear as a piece. Okay. So he's not responding to phone calls, he's not responding to your sending out letters?
He made 1 phone call to Phil or to staff. Sabrina, would this, because he made a call that he wasn't the manager, would he still qualify as a motion to deem because he didn't respond to the official correspondence?
No.
Okay.
Not at this point.
Not yet.
So I would be interested in getting here.
Good luck.
So, because these are some serious issues.
If you need to get anywhere now, please.
Well, it says here that he was managing, was the manager during the December
2016 compliance inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is he currently an active manager?
Yeah, he just got his license back. Correct. So I'm willing to make a motion, and it's up to him if he wants to do it. And,
well, he may not be the manager at that facility.
But I don't know because he won't respond to us.
Or he won't tell me who is.
Then we don't want him managing somewhere else either.
Oh, he is. He's got his license somewhere else.
And they had already been previously revoked.
Then we need to
bring him here and find out.
Yeah. And revoke him in if necessary.
So we can still do a motion and provide whatever terms that we want to include. If he doesn't sign it, we could it would then go to formal hearing and that for further action.
Right. It would get him here.
All
right. And if he doesn't show up, then we'll work to take action that they choose.
That's correct.
All right. All right. So, how about we do this alternative motion? Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, Article 33407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct. In complaint number 18-89 involving manager Nikki Nikita, and at this point, we can either go directly to formal hearing or we can try to offer a consent agreement. If he doesn't, it's going to end up there anyway. Okay. The board offered consent agreements. We signed it in 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement. Phil, can I change it to 5 days? Would that
sure.
be 5 days of receipt?
Yes.
Okay. Or you want 10 days?
How?
Well, there has to be some mailing time. I mean,
is it 5 days with the
5 days typically.
Of the notice or 5 days from the date of the
If you give it 10, that gives 5 days for mailing and then.
Okay, all right, so 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension certificate, say the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met.
probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative cost the amount of $500. Completion of a 40-hour manager training program with executive directors per approval required to document the completion. Successfully passed the state exam for managers administered by the board. Any cost of probation on those of these certificate holder?
Second.
Roll call, Al.
I have a question.
Yes,
sir. What time frame are we looking at for an answer? If I recall, the issue started in 2017.
Well, he had an issue in 2016 that was dealt with already.
Oh, okay. This is
from 2017 as well. So it's 10 days that he's got to respond to. It's going to be forwarded to formal hearing, which is our norm.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so there's a motion. Roll call.
Member Villafranc.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Stevens.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randall.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Hasseltine.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next case is 18-189 involving manager Yvette Carriway.
Licensee is Ben Harrowley, who's present here today. And on June 8th of 2018, staff initiated this complaint investigation after receiving an email from DHS, which contained information that Adult Protective Services had opened an investigation at Arnold's Place located in Peoria. The allegations included that five residents were neglected while residing at the facility. The facility is only licensed for 8 residents, but there were 14 residents residing at the time. The facility does not have sufficient food to adequately feed the residents. Ms. Haraway was notified of a complaint on June 18th of 2018. It was re-noticed of the complaint on July 23rd of 2018. A third notice was mailed on December 21st of 2018. It's unknown what outcome from the DHS survey as well as the APS investigation report. The DHS database, as of last week, did not indicate that they had taken any action or initiated a complaint investigation based on this information I'll provide.
Okay. And they did substantiate the neglect regarding medication and dietary?
APS? Which one?
So the DHS substantiated medication was administered in compliance with the med order and dietary.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't say anything about neglect.
Okay.
There was no enforcement action, so they might have substantiated some allegations, but they didn't rise to the level of enforcement.
Okay. It was unsubstantiated for each count.
For DHS?
Yes.
So the overcapacity was not substantiated?
I'm sorry?
But the overcapacity was not substantiated?
Arnold's Place and Arnold's Place 2, TOO, and one side is licensed for 8, and the other side is licensed for 7. This building has been, I've owned it since 2006, and before that it was called Golden Pond, and the license on that facility was 000001. So that's how long this business, and because of a firewall in between the business, it's all one roof, it's two separate licenses. So that's why it looked like there was 14 people for a facility that's licensed for 15.
My question to you would be, why did it take this long for you to respond?
I'm in the middle of a horrific divorce, and not only is he embezzling every penny that he can, if I can't get the money out of the account first,
that he's also put change of addresses for the mail, stolen the mail.
So are you saying you didn't receive notice of our request?
Yes, I did. I received this large brown envelope, and I opened it 2 weeks ago.
So that's the first time you heard from us?
Yes.
And when you said one side had eight folks, how many people were living there on that one side?
You know what? I apologize that there's a list of documentation I was supposed to bring in, and I'd be happy to get it all. Some of these documents would be in storage because the residents don't live
there
anymore.
You were given notice 2 weeks ago. Where did you think you were coming today? Because you're not prepared. Where did you think you were coming today?
To here. Okay.
So, can I get the answer to my question, please? You said one side had eight people, or were licensed it for eight, and then the other side divided by the firewall was licensed for seven.
Yes.
So how many people were living on each side, please? And if you don't know, just say I don't know.
I don't remember on which side had six, or which side had seven, which side had six.
And just to clarify, the first time you had heard from us about all this was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Thank you.
Did you receive a notice of findings, your statement of deficiencies?
Yes.
And did you fill out the statement of deficiencies response? Did you write out your plan of correction?
Yes, as a matter of fact, to make sure that it was done correctly, I went to DHS and did it with Laura Redpath, our surveyor.
So you had 2 of 5 allegations which were substantiated. 3 were not able to be substantiated. Of those substantiated were the issues with dietary. People weren't being fed. What do you have to say about that?
That we do daily weights. Our residents get fed. Our staff eat with the residents. And I'm there every day. I go shopping at least every other day. I live 3 miles away, and this is my ex-husband trying to sabotage the business.
Did you ask Laura Redpath why she wrote this deficiency? If you're obviously saying it wasn't true that your staff eating these residents every day and they get plenty of food, so why did she cite that if that was the case?
Thought it was an allegation that was not substantiated.
Oh, I thought somebody said it was substantiated.
Well, there is a deficiency here, but the deficiency specifically is that the manager failed to ensure meals provided by the assisted living facility were served according to posted menus. So it was food.
The deviation from menu.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Substitutions were not recorded in the menu.
I believe we're still waiting for ATS to confirm those allegations, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Not DHS. DHS did not substantiate it.
And APS has substantiated it.
I'm sorry?
They have, they said it was unsubstantiated.
But we have no indication of that, correct, Bill?
Do you have that letter?
Yes, I do have it for each one of the residents.
From APS?
Yes.
Do you have it today? Can you provide that to Phil?
Yes.
Today?
Yes, I can.
Today?
Yes.
You have it with you?
No. I can go and get my sneakers on and go through the files and pull each one of them up.
Okay, typically when APS closes a case, they send a communication, if it be email, stating that XYZ case has been closed. Did you receive that?
Yes.
Okay.
It sounds like you're saying that there was a separate case for each individual person?
Yes.
Okay, so you have numerous files, documents to find.
Mr. Lockerbo, we continue in this case today until we get this information. I'd like to defer it.
Okay.
I agree.
Phil, what's your thought on this?
You don't want to know my thought. No response.
Okay.
Now, APS probably won't tell me anything. It's very confidential information that I really would like to do this information. But if a vet has some email or letter that confirms that they did not substantiate it, that'd be great.
Yep.
Yeah, we can still deal with is what DHS has and their statement of deficiencies. So I would rather see us take action today, and the manager has appeal rights.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned with the over occupancy. And if I'm not mistaken, I thought it was somewhere in here regarding a caregiver was having to buy food.
We have numerous different caregivers. As a matter of fact, even when I'm in charge of cooking, I stop and buy what I want.
I don't think the concern would be that the caregiver bought the food. As long as you have the food to give whoever's buying the food, as long as the food meets your menu, that meets the requirement, that is served to meet our residents' needs, that's fine. That's not a concern that the caregiver went to go grocery shopping.
So you have so these are two separate licensed facilities that just happen to be under one roof.
Under one roof.
Yes. So they're not overpopulated. So who wrote that they're overpopulated?
Well, but I have a question for you. You say you're going through a divorce?
Yes.
What is your spouse at the time, a caregiver in the facility?
Yes.
How did APS come to know about these allegations?
I don't know. I would think there's him trying to make trouble for me. Because I fired him. Because I don't allow him to sleep with my staff and work for me at the same time.
I think we should defer this case until we get the
APS. I'd like to see what APS has to say.
Right.
If you notice in the report, the very last paragraph I wrote, mm-hmm. They have a registry. And this APS registry will register people that have substantiated allegations of complaints on them. And Ms. Haraway was not in that registry at the time I finalized this report. Doesn't mean she might not be there now, but.
But if she says she has documentation
I'd like to
from them about each person, I would like to see that.
Well, does that really matter? Because we have a statement of deficiencies right here for DHS. There's a fingerprint problem. There is also
medication services issue.
Yep, there's a number of issues. I'll make a motion. You guys can turn it down, but I'd rather see us make a motion. I don't care about your documentation. The facts are right here.
It's incumbent upon her
to respond to the board, which she did not. She had her opportunity to do so.
But she just stated that she's going through a life event right now. But I just have a question. If we do a motion today regarding this information without confirmation about the APS, are we going to revisit this again, just the APS piece? So it is what it is without all of the evidence in front of us.
I think what he's saying is that based on the information from DHS with regards to fingerprint clearance cards, medication management.
So you're focusing on DHS concern, but there's also the APS concern that is on the table. If we do not have any conclusion to that or all the evidence in front of us, is the whole case closed at that point and we cannot visit the APS? Because if APS substantiates the claim, we have a bigger issue than fingerprint clearance card. We have a lot of issues in the home.
If DHS is responding because of the APS complaint, then they did not substantiate neglect. Okay, they substantiated a number of different items here.
We have no idea what APS status is because we don't.
Doesn't matter because we are.
APS invited DHS.
Right, DHS
did a survey.
Yeah, they're the regulatory body that regulates facility operations.
And in Waters, if I'm not mistaken, she is a registered dietitian and an RN, registered dietitian.
Oh, Laura, yes, she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she could be able to tell if the food was the issue, the overpopulation was an issue. Those items haven't been, it was just the menu didn't match what was being served. But the other items are the fingerprint clearance, and medication management, personnel files, things of that nature.
I do have a question. You seem to allude that your husband or ex-husband person was perhaps inappropriate, had inappropriate contact with residents.
Not
or
residents.
Or
staff.
Oh, a staff. And so based on that, he was fired.
That's correct.
So did anybody report any misconduct against him?
It wouldn't be a reportable if it's between consenting adults. She's just saying she didn't want to pay.
Unless somebody's in a position of power. Right.
So without even getting into the personal issues, I'm looking at a surveyor who walked in and noted only one caregiver in the facility providing services for all of these residents that's outlined on page 12 for us. Medications being given wrong, fingerprint clearance card issues. I would agree. I think we have enough here.
Let's go back to your first thing, why it's really a problem. In essence, you're dealing with two licensed facilities, and it was only one caregiver.
Correct.
Well, two caregiver can't work in two licensed facilities, even if they're adjacent. So you're exactly right. That
we have enough here issue. That we can deal with this.
Yeah.
American, what's the fingerprint issue, please?
It was the cook.
And what about it?
She doesn't have a fingerprint clearance card.
And who would oversee that?
I would.
And what happened?
Please. She's the cook and the cleaner, housekeeping.
Did she have a fingerprint card?
No, she did not.
And why not?
Because she doesn't require, cooking and cleaning staff don't require.
So why is that a fingerprint issue if she doesn't?
Because this the employee number three was the only employee in the facility at the time.
Correct.
So
you had a cleaner and you had a cook. That was the only one that was providing care and was observed providing care. Mm-hmm. Observed by the surveyor.
Is that correct, ma'am?
Yes.
So is that what's supposed to happen? Somebody.
No. If someone doesn't show up for their shift, I'm supposed to be called out and it's 3 miles away. And I was not notified.
But this was in the daytime.
Yes.
Right? So
yes,
I'm prepared to make a motion.
In the morning.
I'm prepared to make a motion. We can run with this. Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 18-189 involving manager Yvette Haraway, and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days. The matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Completion of a 40-hour manager training program with executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion. Successfully passed the state examination for managers administered by the board. If I may, also reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250. And any cost of the probation or those of the certificate holder.
Second.
We have Charles and Ken. Roll call.
Member Villafranc.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Member Seamans.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Hasselhoff.
Aye.
Motion carries. Involving manager Camilla Agabada?
Okay, this is complaint 1918. Licensee is Leonella Agabada. On September 6, 2018, DHS conducted a assisted living facility compliance inspection at Genewood Assisted Living Home, LLC, located in Tucson. Compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies, 7 different areas. Licensee, Ms. Agbada, was noticed. She did provide a response via telephone and stated she was not the manager. Apparently, she was managing the facility, but only from May 17, 2016 to December 10th, 2016. She had no time worked at the facility in 2018. The owner of the facility stated that she ended her employment as manager in July of 2018, which was approximately 2 months prior to the compliance inspection. However, that does not coincide with what Ms. Agbada stated. There's several mitigating factors here, and as we've seen today, some of the information that's being provided is not accurate from different people. I did not feel comfortable proceeding with this because I was unable to determine exactly when she was a manager. And even if she was only there for a couple months before the survey. So.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to close complaint number 19-18 involving manager Leonella Agbada.
And second, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next agenda item number 41, case number 19-20, involving manager Robin Duffy.
Okay, complaint 1920, licensee of Robin Duffy. And on September 18, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Brook at Fairmont Assisted Living, located in Tucson. Compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Ms. Duffy was noticed of the complaint, and she responded and stated that she was the manager just 1 day prior to the inspection, and that the facility had 3 managers in the prior 1 year and 7 months. Again, there were too many managers in this place during that time frame that to pin responsibility on these deficiencies on any of the 4 just did not seem to be appropriate.
I'm going to motion to close complaint 19-20 involving manager Robert Duffy.
Second. Ken and Fred, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next on the agenda is administrator license and manager certification. Consent agenda to approve temporary administrator license, permanent administrator license, temporary manager certifications, permanent manager certifications, and passing all required examinations within the substantial time frame or the license or certification will be denied. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Next is the individual board review consideration action on applicant's temporary and or permanent administrator license or manager certification. If approved, pending passing all requirement examinations within the substantive time frame, the license or certificate will be denied. First on the agenda is number 43, Jessica Weaver.
Come on up.
If you're ready.
Yes, on February 19th of 2018, Ms. Jessica Weaver applied to become a permanent and a temporary assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on April 16th of 2019. She answered truthfully to the question if she'd ever been arrested or charged with a criminal offense. The following 3 incidents are as follows. In June of 2009, she was traveling by plane, and she was found in possession of a switchblade. She was arrested, pled guilty to that misdemeanor charge, and she was ordered to complete community service. In that case, there's a typo in the next one. It's September of 2009. She was in a car that was stopped. She was in a car that had stopped on the side of the road. The car was approached by the Scottsdale Police Department.
and the car was searched. The officer found and charged Ms. Weaver with marijuana possession, use prescription, drug possession use, and drug paraphernalia possession use. Ms. Weaver was arrested during that incident, but she was not prosecuted. On March of 2010, she was in a car that was pulled over by the Scottsdale Police Department, and during the search of the vehicle, the officer found and charged her with marijuana possession use, prescription drug possession use, and drug paraphernalia possession and use. Ms. Weaver was arrested during that incident, but she was not prosecuted. She has a current fingerprint clearance card. She did pass the May 2019 manager's exam. Board staff recommends that her temporary certificate be denied, as she does not qualify per Rule R-433-402. She's applying for a temporary certificate for Weaver Care Homes, LLC. She's the owner of that LLC. Currently, that facility is not licensed by the Arizona Department of Health Services. She indicated that her reason for applying for the temp was need to apply for DHS licensing.
Are there residents there?
There's no licensed facility.
Okay. So, if there's no licensed facility, what were you indicating on your application?
I didn't know you can't get your temporary. So I'm starting my own business, my own care home.
So there was no care home at the time. You fabricated one?
Well, I'm starting it. Like, I need to get my management certification to apply for my licensing.
You've got a building? Or
yeah,
a
yeah, I bought a house.
How did you do that? Are you working?
Yeah, I'm a nurse. I'm a registered nurse.
You're an RN. Mm-hmm. That's what I needed.
Are you actively working as a nurse? I am. I work at Banner Desert ER.
So if you were granted a certification, what would you do with it?
I'm starting a group home for traumatic brain injury residents. So
you're going to handle TBI?
Yeah, TBI. Well, brain injury altogether, not
so
just
TBI. So ER is not enough excitement. You want TBI on your own facility.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do both. I'm going to work part-time in the ER and then also manage this home.
Are you a trauma nurse?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a trauma responder, but.
Okay. Thank you.
So, see, I'm sorry, you recommend denying the temporary?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we just get rid of that? I'll make a motion to deny the temporary certificate application.
Second.
Chair of Kim and Nina. Roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Deny the temporary.
This is just to deny the temporary. Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Simas?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Alston?
Aye. Okay. Motion carries. Just, it's because of...
She doesn't qualify.
Yeah,
she doesn't qualify.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. So it's just under our administrative codes. So what have you done since 2009, 2010, what have you done to change your life so that...
Obviously, I don't associate myself the people that I was around at that time. One of the situations wasn't even my fault. It was basically my brother's girlfriend at the time. I called her stuff, so it wasn't in mine. Both of those, that's why a couple of them got dropped, because that wasn't even actually my stuff. So, and then obviously, I didn't handle what I needed to do for those other situations that I was charged. But I mean, I've been in healthcare field for many years. I've been a nurse for the last 6 years. So I've done quite a bit of changing my life to a better place. I'm trying to only make it better, basically.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And I'll make a motion to approve permanent certificate.
Second.
Okay, so we got Ken, Fred. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
How is it that she you can have a permanent one without a temporary.
The temporary was because you have to be associated with an actual operating facility. And there's no actual operating facility.
But you didn't need it.
So in other words, if you had a building that needed a manager right now, it's an operating facility, I could get a temporary and take over that facility, but there has to be a facility. There is no facility. So just under administrative code, we couldn't, you're the temporary.
Yeah, so she no longer qualifies to be eligible for a temporary because there's no actual physical home that she would have been putting her temporary into.
So the same, there's just a building, she can become a permanent one.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then she gets her home.
Yeah, she doesn't even have to have a building, you can open her approved for permanent. But the temporary has to be denied because she doesn't qualify for it.
It's strange, but it's a quick fix. Okay, moving on. Agenda item number 44 involving manager certificate, Savannah Stone. Welcome again. See if you can outline for us.
Yes. On January 16th of 2019, Ms. Savannah Stidham applied to become an assisted living facility manager. Her application became administratively complete on February 26th of 2019. She answered truthfully to the question if she'd ever been arrested or charged with a criminal offense, and she indicated that in December of 2017, she and her husband were involved in a domestic altercation dealing with their son. She was initially charged with disorderly conduct. There was a guilty plea on that. There was a criminal damage charge that was dismissed and endangerment that was also dismissed. She was ordered to be placed on unsupervised probation for 11 months to complete domestic violence offender treatment and pay fines. She has a current fingerprint clearance card. She did pass the March 2019 manager's exam.
Are you
the
rock lady?
I am.
So I'm assuming, and I don't like to assume, but I assume that you're getting your manager's certification to place it on your group home.
Yes.
That you own.
Yes.
So that you can become the owner and manager?
Yes, sir.
Right. Okay. I move to approve.
Second.
Charles and Fred, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Good luck.
All right, next. Next is the agenda item number C, individual board review consideration action to deny temporary administrator's license or manager certification for failing to meet qualifications under ARS 36446.06D for failing the state exam. We have number 45, Gabriel Grovov.
I think it's Grozav.
Thank you.
On March 4th of 2019, Mr. Grozav applied to receive a temporary manager certificate. His application became administratively complete on April 16th of 2019. On May 2nd of 2019, he failed the manager examination. Board staff recommends that his temporary certificate be denied as he does not qualify for ARS 36-446.06D, which states an applicant for a temporary license or certificate shall not have failed a state or national examination either before or after applying for the temporary license or certificate.
I will move to deny based on ARS 36446.06D.
Second.
Charles and Fred, all in favor of the motion, or should we do a roll call?
Yes.
Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hasseltine?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next is the assisted living facility and training programs. Consent agenda to approve assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs and renewals of assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs. I move that we grant.
Second.
The licensure, and that's Charles and David. All in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay. Other business items, new business for the board to review and consider and take action. Agenda number 47, move November meeting to a Tuesday, the 12th. I don't have any issues with that. Is anybody else?
Because of Veterans Day?
Yeah, because of Veterans Day.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Sounds great. Do we need to make a motion and vote on
that? Yes, go ahead. Since it's on an agenda item, that does.
So I will motion that it's okay to move the November meeting date to Tuesday the 12th.
Second.
Charles and Ken. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, same sign. Okay. Motion carries. Number 47A, rules to correct error and 2.
Okay, I emailed, does everybody have a copy of it? I emailed it out yesterday afternoon. There are several things that I'd like to correct in rules. Some things are errors. If you look at our 433-202, there was one thing that created an unintended consequence, I guess, out of the way it was written. The way it's written is that the person had to be employed full-time for at least 2 years, for the last 2 years, okay? That created a problem in that if someone was in between jobs during that time, they wouldn't qualify because it wasn't
be a break
at least 2 years, right? There would be a break in service. So if we take, in the original intent, as I remember, it was that we wanted the candidate to have an administrative license in another state for at least 2 years, which would mean two or more. Right now, we're losing some good people that maybe have license for many, many years in other states that want to move here and not able to because of that manager record at least in the last 2 years. They may not have had be a manager of a record, you know, for a year or two or several years, or they're a regional director of some sort, and they don't have, they're not putting their license in a facility. So this will correct that problem.
So you want to flip the state for out-of-state administrators legally, so
flip that out when we find
the our wages go down. So because there's an oversupply of administrators. Terrific.
It's an open up retirement, yeah. According to members.
Our companies can open that up. They just fire us.
Okay, what else do you have on there?
And then it's under 203, was to correct an error. The error deals with, well, a couple different things. Yeah, 203. Has to do with, it says R-433-202-2B now, and it should be 2C.
Oh. And then the 6 months versus the 180 days?
The, under 204, initial applications, it has to do with this, our new system. We can't get a, we can't sign on the back of the photograph anymore. Because everything's uploaded in the system, so we're just suggesting that passport size photograph of the applicant taken within the last 6 months. And then also proof, a photocopy of the front and back of the applicant's fingerprint clearance card, taking out proof of submission of the application, and if denied, good cause exception qualifiers.
Issued in 403D is spelled with three S's. I'm not sure if that's intentional.
Which one?
In 403D, the next one that we'll get to. Certificate of completion issued.
Oh, issued, right.
Just a typographical error.
Right.
I don't want that to stay.
Two S's or three S's instead of two.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
I got carried away on the S's.
Excessive.
Right.
Can you clarify the good cause exception part that you just said about the fingerprint card? You said it's
under food? Right. The qualifier under our rules, they have to have a valid fingerprint clearance card. Under the application portion of it, it includes a couple other things. And we just want to be consistent in that We only include that they have a valid fingerprint clearance card at the time of application.
So I will make a motion to...
Yeah, the only other thing is just approval that staff can check with the governor's office. We do need an exception to create a rule changes on these amendments.
So I'll make a motion that the board staff can check with governor's office to make the amended motions on the rules. We have Charles and David. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next is the administrative matters. The following items concern administrative matters are provided for informational purposes, board may review and discuss. First on the agenda is 48 financial reports.
Okay. As of the end of April, beginning of May, the board had a fund balance of $283,397. It's about 2%. I guess we're about $11,000 above what we had projected, which is 0.232%. As far as expenses, we're right on, actually below target. We're about 2% below, about $7,000 under what we have projected.
Because you're not providing lunch. That's
I think you have room for coffee.
Yes, coffee.
Yeah.
It's not a line item.
Can we do a consent agenda for a line item?
I don't think the auditor generals would appreciate that.
Okay, then we're open for managers' recertifications right now.
Yes, we're in the middle of smack in the middle of renewals. So those are going along. Their staff is struggling a little bit. As far as the numbers that we're getting in, the new system creates some challenges with people calling in with some problems or emailing in with some problems. They lost their registration or their security codes, and we have to reissue them or resend them to them. We send everybody out security codes back in September, hoping we would get ahead of this. That didn't seem to work. We have some other things we're going to try to do here. We'll send out another blast email. And also, we can deal with emails faster than we can with phone calls. We're probably getting 100 phone calls a day.
Will the blast email
reissue the security codes?
I'm just going to sit and wait until this.
So, there are some challenges, but we have some things we're looking at to help us with that. I think we've renewed so far about 417, somewhere around that.
Probably 2,500.
We still have about 2,000, 1,900 that we still need to renew in the next 6 weeks.
Do you need anything from the board to help?
You want to volunteer?
Driving up here.
No, as far as from the board, there's nothing as far as that you guys could do to help. I appreciate the offer.
When can I say that email blast will go out with new application numbers?
I'm hoping to get it done this week.
Okay.
I'll need some.
Tell people not to call. That new number is coming out.
We prefer if they email
okay.
to our information at azncieboard.us. We can shag emails faster, and we can sit on the phone or catch the phone calls and talk to them for
They can wait for that email to come and then go from there.
They could. If their email address is up to date with us.
So that would be the first part. So that would also be an email to send in?
We have to change the email on our end. It cannot be done in the portal.
Right.
So they would have to email us with the email that they want to use for registration and renewing.
So email you directly with their email chain. Okay.
And if they have a security code request, same thing.
And is the AG's office, did it change systems? Did all the boards are changing, or is it just for boards?
I think it's just for the boards.
Yeah. Just for boards.
Right now, it takes us just to renew a license. There's 37 steps to the process.
Wow.
So, and that's if there's no problem. I mean, as far as no issues on either continuing education, forgot the fingerprint card, or we can't view the card because of, you know, it's a JPEG file that didn't upload properly, you know, those type of things. So.
Agenda item number 49, complaint status report.
Well, we resolved 16 today out of the 18 before the other two come next month. Next month's agenda is going to be full stall, so I'd like to get a lot once I get all these consent agreements spread up.
And considering that we have a 2% shortage in expenditures, I'm sure we could do a pizza.
We'll be here that long.
Go ahead.
No, so we're okay.
Pass ahead.
Okay. Licensing report.
Our current manager count is 2,368, with 19 of those being temporaries, 25 of those are inactive. Our administrator count is at 326, with two of those being temporaries, 22 of those being inactive.
Legislative update, House Bill 2569.
2569, there was some, we've had some inquiries about that. It has to do with out-of-state residents being licensed here, become licensed here in Arizona. It does not apply to administrators. It does to other occupations, professions under Title 32. Since we're under 36, it doesn't apply to us.
So it doesn't apply to administrator or manager?
Correct. Correct.
Oh. Perfect. And rules update.
Rules update, there's nothing to report.
Okay. Training report?
There's 43 current, I think, with the one we're, so we have about 44. this last year, of the caregivers, we had first-time test takers were 2,365. With an 80% pass rate. And managers, I think there's about 11 manager training programs. They trained 357 first-time test takers with an 83% pass rate.
So I just had a question with regards to this. If the two bills go through that are in there now, if you have a lot of caregivers failing first and second try because they are allowed to do on-the-job training now, how would that look?
I'm not going to speculate because I don't know if those bills are even going to go through. Okay. They're sitting there right now. Nothing's changed on it.
Okay.
That would be...
Very burdensome?
It would also take rule changes to accommodate the statutes. So until that happens, I can't even guess.
Just curious.
How it's going to.
Does the statute, do they put language in there that mandates that we change our rules? What if they forget to say anything about it and they make the statute change? Can we just ignore it and say we're not changing the rules?
I don't think so.
You know, I really value my job.
I think I get the hint now.
Board meeting critique. I think we got through a whole bunch real quick.
Good. Mm-hmm.
I think you did a great job. Thank you guys.
I love serving with you guys. You're awesome. Future agenda items and meeting updates. Next regular meeting for the board will be held Monday, June 10th, 2019, at 1740 West Abs, Boardroom Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona. 9 a.m. I was curious before we adjourn out with the amount of people that we see, is there any way we can get a bigger boardroom, like boardroom B? That
actually,
was a question by all of us.
Yes.
It was? Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
I need to check the schedule because a lot of the schedules, they're scheduled like year down the road. So I'll see if how Monday fits on, if you want, in boardroom A. That's the first one.
Is it bigger?
It is bigger.
Okay.
Perfect.
I don't know if you noticed, but we had people standing up by the door because there were no seats. And they had to wait till someone did their case until they left so that they had a place to sit down.
And there's a bunch of, yeah, like Phil just said, there's a lot of them here for continuing education. So that takes up, and that'll be over in June.
That'll be over
in June.
Right now, it's
a
busy season.
Well, and two, we're
going to
have
a question
also.
We want to encourage
people to come. If you could just check. If you would just say that, that would be great.
I tell everybody to come, so. Sorry.
Okay. It's a much
better That's great. You know, if they show up, and I think it's a real educational
one. Absolutely. It's research time.
All right, board stands in adjournment at 12:17.